All right, it is good to see you this morning. We're going to read six verses, verses 7 through 12, Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Bible says, "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time." You guys know this story, right? All right, I'm just going to cut to the high spots then. He said, "To find out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I can go and worship him too.'" Herod really wasn't worried about worshiping. Can I get an amen on that? All right, let us continue reading. He says, let me get my spot here. "After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." Lord, we thank you that you care enough to speak to our hearts, Lord, that you bring guidance and direction to us, Lord, that you are the bringer of gifts, Lord, the greatest gift of all, Lord, that you sent your Son, Lord, that he was born of a virgin that he might live a sinless life, that he would come to those who were expected to worship him, but they nailed him to a cross and killed him. Thank you that you came. I thank you that you sacrificed. And I thank you, Lord, that you are coming again. Lord, we look forward to that day, Lord, when you are coming back to gather each one of us, Lord, that have received you as our new king. And we will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Well, Christmas time, it's a great time. Amen?
Amen.
It has been a bit of a challenge for us this week. Anybody fighting flu, bug, anything like that? Miss Claudia, I'm sure you don't need to listen to anything on that headphones. There you go. I am sufficient enough. So who is sick? I'm sorry, I didn't catch all those hands. Yes, sickness is among us. Well, we've had sickness and we've had other challenges. My daughter, my wonderful daughter, is down with the children today. She is with us, and she has brought her stuff from college. Yes, it's kind of overflowing into our home. And Friday morning, she was looking for her precious laptop. And, you know, it's like, man, there's so much stuff all over. Leanne, if you just clean up your stuff, you'll probably find it. And she is looking and looking and looking, and she's not finding it. And then I remember there's some things missing out of my bedroom. And I was thinking that Lisa had just moved them. And I said, "Leanne, I think we've been robbed." She turned immediately at the coffee table and said, "My camera's gone." And between 3 o'clock on Thursday, when Lisa was waiting outside for Lisa Gaudet to come and pick her up with blankets on her arms and a little bag and probably some thieves going by and say, "That lady's leaving." And 4:15, when JJ and I came back, somebody entered our home and ripped us off. We thought we were fine. Thought we were safe. Thought everything was secure. Now, I go home and the metal grate is locked, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Because after you've been ripped off, you look around and say, "Oh, we got a hole here and a hole here and a hole here and a hole here." And after the fact, we start plugging all those holes. Can I get a witness on that? Well, the Lord wants us to know that we have some holes in our lives. And he doesn't want us to wait for too long to plug those holes. Today we're going to talk about plugging holes. We're going to talk about making changes. Talk about the gift of love. We've been turning our eyes to the birth of Christ. We looked at Mary, and an angel comes and visits Mary, and Mary's life is radically transformed. Last week, we took a look at Joseph and an angel that visits him, and also we took a look at the shepherds and the angel that had come to visit them, and indeed the entire heavenly host. Lives changed. Mary and Joseph's lives were radically transformed. They came to Bethlehem because of the census and decided to stay there and live. Lives changed. Newborn king changes everything. This week we take a look at the Magi. Magi looking for the new king. And what I want to let you to know today is that the new king is a problem to the old king. Because you can only have one king. Amen? Yeah. The title of today's message is Problems for the King. And we're going to take a look at these verses, starting back at verse 1 of chapter 2. And verse 1 reads, or at least the first portion of it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And these Magi, these guys were connected. They had a desire for more, and because they had a desire for more going on in their life, they decide to make a move and follow this star that was going to guide them to what God had for them. Are you tracking with me? Now, these Magi, we don't know much about them. We have pictures of them. People draw all kinds of things. Tradition tells us that their names were Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. That could be true. That could be false. There could be three. There could have been 23. The reason we say that there was three, because there was three gifts. There was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And all three of those things were incredibly valuable. And it tells us that these three men were connected. They were magi. They probably came from Persia. They were looked at as wise men. They would have received this call that their God was going to do something, and they started on this journey that would have taken 6 months. Now, if you were going to go on a six-month journey, that's one way. How much of your resources would it take to go on a one-year trip? Probably a substantial amount. The Godays are leaving when? To go to New Mexico after church or tomorrow? 11:30. They're not even going to stop for lunch with us. But they're going to go for 1 week. 1 week? 1 week. Imagine if they were going to New Mexico for a year. God have to take time off his job. Lisa have to take time off her job. Can you imagine the resources that it would have required to make this trip? But the Magi had a desire for more. Magi were looking to fill the holes in their lives. Because it doesn't matter how much money you have. Sometimes you just got some gaps in your lives that can't be filled by money or resources or job or flat screen TVs or Xbox or cars or whatever you have. You got some gaps in your lives. And the Lord does not want you to wait too long until you find out that there are indeed gaps. Today, maybe you come in here, and Roki talked about having some holes in your life. Pain, and you tried to cover that pain with maybe some substance abuse, or maybe some relational abuse, or maybe just something. Fill that hole, cover that gap. And Roki said, there is some help, and I want to let you know that we serve a God today who doesn't want you to live your life with a hole in your heart. Amen? Amen. That there is indeed a newborn king in Bethlehem that we can celebrate, but the problem with the new king is that the old king has to go. Amen? And sometimes that old king is fine with holes and gaps in your life. Can I get a witness? All right. The wise men are coming to worship. Bible continues to say, they asked, where is the one who has been born the king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. They came because they realized that there was something that was more that was available to them, that was included in the kingdom of God, the plan of God, that was available for them, and they were looking to avail themselves of that and grab on to that. You think, well, how did they know? Well, the star, the Lord's star. Now, Tommy, who spoke yesterday at the men's breakfast, talked about speaking to theologians. And indeed, these magi perhaps were theologians, and they perhaps were quite versed with the books of Moses and Numbers. Now, I don't know how many of you theologians just dwell in the book of Numbers that are edified and lifted up. But in the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verse 17, says, I see him, but not now. Now, maybe they grabbed onto that text and said, hey, that's a promise for us. He says, I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. And maybe that just speaks to your heart. Obviously, Jesus is tied right onto that. But I think that perhaps in the whole of the five books of the Pentateuch, that this, I find this reference to be a tad obscure. It's there, it's real, but it would be easy to miss. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, I don't know that I would spend every night looking at the stars waiting for something new to pop up. I don't know that much about the stars. Now, these men living in Persia, Babylon, during the captivity, Daniel was in the captivity. Daniel's writings would have been made available to them. Take a look at Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 11. There was reference to the 70 weeks of Daniel. 70 weeks, each representing a year, 490 years to the coming of he who would deliver Israel. And you can do the math, and you can see, wow, that just hits Jesus' time right on the head. But it's kind of like doing math when you have the answer sheet. You know, it's easy to get the answer when you got the answer sheet. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, there's all kinds of guys that are prophesying all kinds of stuff today. And you're going, man, how do you get that from that? That's a little obscure. And I really think there is only one reason that these magi came to Jerusalem. And they came because God told them to. Jesus said, John chapter 6, verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. God makes an opportunity to these magi, and perhaps many more. Perhaps those who saw his star in the west, perhaps those who saw a star in the south and in the north, and they disregarded it. But these men did not, because they had a gap in their lives. They had wealth, they had action, they had all kinds of authority and recognition. They said, this is not enough. We are looking for full lives. We are looking for a new king. The problem with a new king is the old king has to go. Holes in our lives. We've had a little bit of rain lately. You have rain at your house? In my house, we got an old driveway. And we had, the city did some work and brought in, they were going to underground some cable, and they replaced some stuff, and they redid the dirt by the side of our driveway, and now the water drains right over the driveway, and it's kind of eroding it away. And so before the last rainstorm, I dug a trench, which worked fabulously. I'm an old ditch digger from way back, grew up on a farm, and so I dig that trench right next to our driveway, and it drains all the water, nice little ditch right there, except that is also where I park my car. So now, it's kind of like I balance on the top of that ditch and get to my car. It's less than convenient. Now, my plan is to take a pipe and put it in the trench and cover it up. The danger to that plan is becoming comfortable with the hole, becoming comfortable with the trench. And so many of us, We have gaping holes in our lives. And we think, oh, that's okay. It'll be fine. The security measures in our home, we thought, that's okay. We'll be fine. Until at some point, it's not fine anymore. Amen? Maybe you come in and you're thinking about this last week and you're thinking it wasn't fine. Maybe you think back over 2014 and you think it was. There are some of you who think back on 2014 and you're going, woohoo! Sandra, right back there. She is a woohoo lady. I'm trying to interview her up here and she won't let me. There are some people that got some good stuff going on. And if you got good stuff going on, just put your hand up and say, God is good. Amen. Look around. Look around. Look around. You see these hands? 2015, your hands can be up. Why? Because God wants you to understand that there is holes in our lives and that he has come as a newborn king that those holes might be filled in. Newborn king. Problem is, the old king has to go. Let's keep on going. Amen? All right. There we go. God mixes things up. All you people say, hey, yeah, God's blessed me. Life is mixed up sometimes. Amen? All that stuff you were putting your faith in, it's not working out so good. All right. When Herod heard this, he was disturbed. He said, wait a minute. Newborn king in Jerusalem, and Herod is disturbed, and not only Herod, but all Jerusalem. Herod's not happy. Jerusalem's not happy. Why? Because they all thought they were okay. They're fine with the old king. Notice the Magi. Think about the Magi. They're traveling 6 months. They're going to show up for this new, I don't know if they knew it was a newborn or what, but something was happening, so much so that there is a stellar advertisement. Takes them 6 months to get there. Can you think that maybe each night they were pressing on a little bit? Well, let's just go up another 2 miles. We'll get there that much quicker. Can you get where I'm going with this? I mean, they're going, oh, we don't want to miss this. New king, let's go see this. We've got gaps in our lives. Let's hurry up. We're going to do what? We are going to worship. And they show up and they finally get to Jerusalem and they go, hey, where's the newborn king? We've come to celebrate. We didn't want to miss it. And not only did they not miss it, there was nothing to miss. Because there was no celebration going on. Nobody was doing anything because they were all okay. Herod says, what are you talking about? I'm the king. I'm fine with how this works. And so is everybody else. We don't want your new king. Sound like anybody you know? All Jerusalem is disturbed. You say, how can that be? Really, come on. Got a new king, got the newborn king, got the birth of Christ. How can they not be celebrating? Well, take a look at our culture. How much do we embrace Christ? They want to take Christ out of Christmas. Happy holidays. Our culture does not want a new king. They want a guy on a sleigh. And they will do all they can to take Jesus out of your life. And that's exactly what Herod was doing. Why? New king is a problem for the old king. And we all got old kings that are threatened by the new king. Amen? All right, let's keep reading. Verses 9 through 12, this is what we open with. After they heard the king, they went on their way, talking about the Magi. And the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them. It was guiding them, right? It was direction, the map, so to speak. until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The Magi keep on going. Bethlehem is 5 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, these Magi, of course, would have heard about Jerusalem. And as far as being guided by a star, it would be easy to think that Jerusalem was their end game. Amen? I mean, it's a star, man. I mean, 5 miles on the earth. I mean, it's like between here and La Mesa. You're coming from Sacramento. Rick Cole preaches at that church where Lisa and I met. Yeah. And I was homeless one time. You probably heard about that. I'm going to follow that. Actually, I'm joking. No, actually, well, anyway. We're just moving on. It would have been easy to stop in Jerusalem. Temple was there. King was there. Priests were there. But it was the old king. It is easy to do great, great, great work, put in great, great, great effort, and get to the very edge of the kingdom of God and stop when the sacrifice becomes greater, when the cost becomes more apparent. Because for you to embrace the new king, the old king has got to go. And so many of us will come up and say, oh, there's the king, but stay far enough away that we can keep the old king and not make any big challenges or changes. God wasn't in Jerusalem. God was camped out in Bethlehem. You come here today looking for more? Come here today on the edge of the kingdom, worried about what happens to the old king? I tell you what, you get a new king, you're not going to worry about the old king. Old king can move on down the road. Magi step into the kingdom of God. The Magi step into Bethlehem. The Magi step and find this little infant boy. Probably, again, we don't know. They did not show up on the night of Jesus' birth. Probably 6 months to 18 months of age, and they bend a knee when they worship the king. God sends them a message. Don't go back to the old king. You got to take a new route. And they left the old king behind. They grabbed on to the new king, directed by God, directed in a dream. I love to see people directed by the Lord. I love to see these children up here. Some of them are pretty rough. They are your children, you know. You have raised them rough. When I was 6 years old, I went to a summer program at a church. One day, I heard they were giving away candy. Me and my buddy, we went down there and we got candy. And the lady talked about Jesus. And the lady talked about that Jesus was knocking on the door of your heart. 6 years old. These little kids up here fighting over the mic. They're about 6 years old. I think Jose is 6 years old. Claudia here? Six? I probably had a haircut. Well, he's got a pretty styling haircut these days. I just had straight butch. I don't even know if they had styling haircuts like those back when I was six. So he's looking styling, but I was six, and I came out of that class, and I remember saying, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart, but I don't know how to open the door. It took 20 3 years for me to understand how to open the door of my heart. And it took 23 years for me to understand that I had a massive gap in my life, and I had tried all the things that Roki talked about, drugs and relationships and all these things to cover it. When I was 29 years old, I said, Lord, you can have my life because I've lost it. And he took it. You come in here this morning, and you came here to see these little kids, but perhaps you've got a hole in your life. The Lord makes an opportunity for you this morning that you can be filled because of the newborn king. The problem with the new king is that the old king has to go. Amen? All right, let's continue on. We'll get these kids back up here and sing for us. The new king is less than convenient. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Yeah, the Lord doesn't really care about what you had going on. In fact, most of what you had going on, you shouldn't have had going on. Amen? I know that was my problem. So I had to make a shift. Matthew chapter 2, 13 through 15. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Now we got all kinds of angels. We got all kinds of dreams going on. Luke chapter 1 and 2, Matthew chapter 1 and 2. We got all kinds of this communication from God. Get up. Maybe the Lord might say, get up. Maybe the Lord might say, shut up. I don't know. Hoping some of my ushers might say that. But says, take the child and his mother and escape. You know what escape means? Escape means there is danger. Escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod, the old king, is going to search for the child to kill him. So he, Joseph, got up, took the child and his mother during the night, less than convenient, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, that was Hosea, 800 B.C., out of Egypt I called my son. God redirects Joseph. Notice there's a blank there. There's a blank on your fill-in sheets there. You might even just put your own name in there. God redirects Bob. God redirects Lisa. God redirects Roki. God redirects Mike and Tommy. And you put your name in there because I guarantee you, if you're listening to the Lord, you have been redirected somewhere along the way. Amen? There is a threat. So head on down to Egypt. And you take a look at what is going on with Mary and Joseph. Start off in Nazareth. Got the whole unwed mother thing going on. Got the census hits by Caesar Augustus. They got to go down to Jerusalem. Go down to Bethlehem. They're visited by the shepherds, and you got the angel thing going on. All of a sudden, hey, we got all of our relatives, at least all of Joseph's relatives, living in Bethlehem. We're going to stay in Bethlehem because we got some notoriety, man. The shepherds went around telling all the people what the Lord had told them, and the people were amazed. And so maybe there was some support for Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, and they said, this is cool. We can do this. And then the Magi come. And they are redirected to Egypt. Now, Egypt is 300 miles away. Doing 10 miles a day with an infant child. Take you 30 days. Moving every day. Now, moving from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which is your hometown, you know everybody. Moving to Egypt, a little less than convenient. Can I get a witness on that? And perhaps, not knowing anybody in Egypt, supporting your family might be a little bit of a challenge. Amen? How very convenient that those Magi brought what? Some gold. We were talking the other day, what was it, frankincense and myrrh? And what was the other spice? No, it wasn't another spice. It was gold, fedia, money. They had some resources now to go and relocate to Egypt and fulfill the plan of God. Amen? plan of God includes the provision of God. Guided by God, He will be with you along the way. Rick Cole out on the streets, struggling to find food, but finding it. Amen? Line up on the plan of God, He lines up on you. And all this stuff working out 800 years before, the prophet said, out of Israel, out of Egypt, I will call my son. New king has new challenges and new opportunities. Felt squarely by Mary and Joseph. New king means the old king has to go. Last thing we'll talk about today. There are those who say no. I don't think so. Old king's going to stay. Got no room for the new king. I felt like that for 23 years. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. Had some power. Gave orders to kill. It's such a drag to go here at Christmas time. Gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. In accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi, then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. There are those who say no. Old king's going to stay. Herod puts to death all the boys in Bethlehem, and he is truly an evil man. Research on Herod, don't go into the details, but he is evil. His family is evil. His son is evil. His daughter is evil. You can read into the Gospels about how they treat John the Baptist. You see the impact. The mothers, Rachel is the wife of Israel. The mother, talking about the mothers of Bethlehem, of the children whose children were slain. These children that are up here singing today, and you parents, and specifically you mothers, I can imagine what would go on in your heart as someone would come to your home to kill your child. The extreme energy that you would put forth with all your effort to save your child, to have that effort just turn to collapse if someone would leave your child as refuse and go to the next home. Weeping, refusing to be comforted. A whole town, not a giant town, but every home with a small boy. Why didn't God just stop it? Read about reports, ISIS this week killing more small Christian children. Why doesn't God just stop it? Can't we just get along? Rather than redirect Joseph to Egypt, just get rid of Herod. Come on, you're the creator of the universe. Rather than direct the Magi to come to Bethlehem in the first place, why not just build a church in Persia? Can't we just get along? God's not interested in getting along. God is interested in you knowing that you need a new king. The old king has to go. God is interested in you getting into right relationship with Him. God is interested in filling that hole in your heart, not just covering it over so that nobody realizes that there's a problem. Lisa, you want to come up and play for me, please? God cares so much about the hole in your life and in your soul and in your being that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you believe in Him, that you would have eternal life.
Amen.
And those that He came to killed Him and crucified Him. And if God was going to stop anything, He would have stopped that. But that is the very reason that we have opportunity to embrace the new King.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Magi, I don't know how many Magi came to worship God. And nowhere does God stop His worship. Amen? That worship exposes the sin in the heart of the old king. And because of that worship, we become aware that a change needs to happen. New king gonna come. The old king has to go. And today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are the old king. The new king is a threat to the old king. And you can come right up to the kingdom of God. You can get to Jerusalem. You can embrace that old king and close enough to where you can see the new king and just stay 5 miles. God says you got a hole in your heart. That hole is because you're the old king. The new king will come and fill your life. Maybe you come in here this morning. 2014, I'm so empty. I got nothing going on for Christmas. Christmas just brings memories and pain. Pain and hurt. New king is here this morning. Fill your heart, fill your life. Pray with you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for these children that are downstairs, Lord, that we can gather this morning, Lord, not worried that someone's going to break the doors and kill our children. But Lord, there is a false security, Lord, because sometimes we are the very threat to our own lives and our own children.